He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
It's July 2015.
That it
and
is.
And you, it's he said, she said, and we're going to bark at each other and have some fun.
Well, I'll bark at you. You might not bark at me. In July, we're halfway through the year.
Halfway is a good thing, and I'm ready to get into whatever you've got on your list today. So what's cooking?
What's cooking is black bean dip or black bean hummus. I've done this before, but I'm bringing it out again because I just made it the other day, and it was an absolute hit. However, I think I ate most of it because I didn't feel like a heavy protein meal. I just cut up a lot of beautiful fresh vegetables that were filled with water, and I just spooned down this bean dip, and it was absolutely delicious. It's easy to prepare. It has light ingredients. It's super tasty, and the beauty of it is it's nutritious, too. And that's how I would describe this black bean dip. Like I said, it's not only for dipping raw vegetables or chips, if you like. You can also top it with meat, fish, or chicken, or use it as a side dish for steamed vegetables. Any way you use it, it's just an absolutely wonderful condiment. And I've made this particular dip with whole cumin seeds and ground cumin seeds, with tahini, without tahini. Tried both the lemon and the lime juice. Every time I make it, it tastes delicious. So if you don't have all the specific ingredients that you need, you can just change it up a little bit. Now, the beauty about black beans is that they're loaded with a rare combination of both protein and fiber. So per 100 grams of beans, you'll get a smackin' 21 grams of protein, 16 grams of fiber, and 63 grams of carbohydrates. So that's about 1,500 grams of potassium. So all in all, no wonder I feel great after I have my bean dip with my vegetables. And they're very low in fat and sodium. So hello, start making the black bean dip. And the beauty about the black beans, they're rich in anthocyanins.
Anthocyanidins, yes.
Yeah, say that one more time fast.
Anthocyanidins.
Woo, you're good.
It's the pro-anthocyanidins. That's all about, you know, the grape seed and the pine bark, right? You know how good the pine bark actually is.
Ooh, yes.
Right, so there's all kinds of naturally occurring sources for these anthocyanidins. It's a big family, polyphenols, and they have strong antioxidant and supreme healing virtue.
Absolutely. So you just said what I was going to say, so that's perfect. And they're also known to decrease the risk of heart disease and cancers. So they play an important role in prevention of macular degeneration, which is really good for your eyes. As we age, we need to keep them strong. And they're also heart healthy with fatty acids that help reduce inflammation. We all know about silent inflammation. We want to keep our blood nice and cool. And so they're just a wonderful, wonderful asset to build into your diet. Cumin has a nutty, peppery flavor, and it plays an important role in Indian and the Middle Eastern cuisine. And it's an important component of curry powder. So I have used, as I mentioned, whole cumin, which provides an intense burst when you bite into the individual seeds. Or I've also used the ground cumin, which integrates a more fully flavor with the other seasonings. So like I said, whether you use the whole cumin or the ground cumin, either way, it's going to be a great bang. So let's get to the freshest flavors of the spice. It's really best to grind your own cumin seeds. And we all know that that's important to do that. But just sometimes, folks, we just don't have the time to do that, and we need to make things in a pinch. So I think it's always great to have a nice can of black beans in your cupboard. And if you can get the organic and the tin has white inside of it, so it doesn't leach out the tin, that's the best way to do it. So it's great to have this on hand. So what I do, in a nutshell, this recipe is on our website. I use a can or 19 ounces of black beans drained and rinsed. I grate on one of those graters a whole bulb of garlic. Yeah, folks, a whole bulb of garlic. Say that fast three times. A whole bulb of garlic. But now, you're not getting every single inch of the garlic, so there is a little bit of waste in there. However, the recipe calls for 3 cloves. And the juice of 1 fresh lemon or lime, and a tablespoon of tahini. Now, this is optional. I don't always have tahini on hand, so whether I put tahini in it or not, it comes out really good. 1 teaspoon of ground cumin or whole cumin, a little bit of sea salt to taste. So what I would do is put it in after you've made it to see if you like it or not. And also a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Now, if you want to use more or less or none at all, you go for it. And then a little bit of water to the consistency, maybe a quarter cup if you like. And just blend everything in the blender, and voila. So I just throw everything into the blender and blend it up, season it to taste, and I'm done. And that takes all of, 5 minutes? So it's easy to have in a pinch. And you can do the same thing with the chickpeas or the garbanzo beans to make a hummus, and you add all the same ingredients to it. So it's always good to have a can of these on hand in a pinch. So get with it, and then you can, that's a great way to get your vegetables in.
Yes.
And a little bit of protein.
If I go to a party or out anywhere and people are eating and I'm part of it, I will never, ever eat a sauce or a dip because I know what's in it. It's not like what you're talking about. It's filled with all kinds of gunk that I would never eat in a million years. Like, that's really important to understand and know, that one way to really damage yourself is to use a lot of refined commercial restaurant dips and sauces. You know that show you just started watching, Gracie and Frankie?
Yeah, I'm done.
Jane Fonda comes in to the restaurant to meet her friend. I think that's Frankie, right?
Yeah.
She's playing Grace. And who's playing Frankie?
Lily Tomlin.
Right. Okay, so she's sitting there, and she's wearing a muumuu, and of course, people that tend to wear muumuus tend to have a lot to hide underneath, and of course, Jane walks in. She's wearing a super lean kind of dress, and you can see that she's super lean, and she sits down, and Frankie's sitting there mopping up the sauce with her bread, right?
Yeah.
And then Jane Fonda is offered the sauce or with the bread, and she says, no, I don't eat sauces and mop it up with bread, right? So that, to me, speaks loud. It shows me the difference, because you can always tell where people are at with nutrition and life by how they eat and what they're doing.
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, you don't realize that that little sauce has a lot of toxins in it, but a lot of calories too, and always sugar. There's always sugar in everything.
Huge amount of sugar, huge amount of salt,
yeah, and
huge amount
of
chemical
preservatives and all kinds of chemicals and all that kind of stuff. So I stay away from them. But when I make my own, I know exactly what's in it. I make it right from scratch. And if you put it in a sealed, tight container, you can keep it up to 3 or 4 days. It never lasts that long in my house. You can keep it. And it's a really nice little dish to take to a barbecue as well. If you want to have, like, I don't eat the chips with it, but a lot of people do. But, you know, take a few little vegetables with it, and away you go.
Well, you just brought something to mind, too, there. It's what you put in the dip or the sauce. Like, that's the point of the dip or the sauce, right? You got to mop it up with something. Very few people would focus on a kind of a clean dip that you're talking about and then dip the raw veggies in it. It would normally be a conventional dip, and then, of course, you dip things like chips. What other things do people put in dips when they're at parties and stuff? It's usually like a corn chip, isn't it?
Yes, a tortilla chip.
A tortilla chip, yeah.
Right.
And so, I mean,
they're yummy, but
they used to be one of my favorite foods when I was much younger, but it wasn't until I realized what they do to me, that overwhelming amount of intelligence that, you know, where logic and math and knowledge meets you in the head, and you have to come to a decision, is that what I'm going to do? And the damage that is going to happen inevitably, calculating in advance, or do I find another way to satisfy myself that works with my body, my chemistry, and nature?
Right. Yes, well put.
Well, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You just serve your taste buds and only focus on pleasure and never, ever, ever consider the effects of what you're doing.
But the funny thing is, they don't realize, people don't realize, because I was like that myself. I mean, I just used to eat McDonald's, oh yeah, folks. I'm off and off of that for close to 30 years now. But I used to eat McDonald's. It was fast, quick, and I never even thought about what I put in my body had anything to do with my health problems. So it's the pleasure pain. And you can get a headache, or you can get a constipation, or whatever your ailments may be, acid reflux. You don't even think it's about what you ate. I never used to think it had anything to do with my nutrition.
Well, I remember an author stating that there's an ocean, and people see the ocean and there's things living inside of it. Well, there's an ocean above it. It's called the atmosphere. And I thought, isn't that cool to think that I also live in an ocean? But I think that there's an ocean of ignorance, and it covers. It's like a mist. It's like people living inside this mist. And they're absolutely unaware of a lot of stuff that's really important to understand. And I think that the mist is kind of sprayed from a source on purpose with intention to keep people unaware of the facts.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, you got to seek and you shall find.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, get into the black bean dip, everybody. Get into it. Everybody will love it. Like I said, you can add more or less of the cumin, more or less of the cayenne or the chili peppers if you want. The lime juice is a little different than the lemon juice. Add tahini, don't add tahini. Change it up, just get creative, but get on it.
Yes, and then the rule, of course, is look at the list of ingredients on the thing you're making. Every one of those things in the list, every single one has to be acceptable according to the science of nutrition.
Exactly.
And if it is acceptable, you can't go wrong, unless, of course, you have an inherent opposing compatibility issue with the food. Because think of an organic strawberry. Not everyone can tolerate them.
Exactly. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Anyway, there you have it. That's what's cooking.
Okay, so who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. George Durand. Now, George lives in Pretoria, South Africa. Wherever that is, I don't know. Haven't been there yet, but I would love to meet him. He's an Olympic swimmer. He attended Beijing 2008. And he set a world record in Moscow for short course meters version of the 200 backstroke.
That's quite something to set a world record, you know. Imagine that. Imagine you can say that I have the world record in anything.
I know.
That's huge, man.
I know, that is pretty cool. He is now preparing for the 2016 Games in Rio de Janeiro.
Let's
now,
go.
Next
Rio.
Year. That's next year, 2016.
I know.
Athletic Edge website is his business, and he specializes in high-performance swimming, general fitness, and sports nutrition.
Geez, I wonder why he specializes in swimming.
Yeah. He's also a CSNA graduate, which is wonderful, and that's why he's really into the sports nutrition now. The purpose is to educate athletes, raising the awareness of sports nutrition and what it can do for your health and performance. The beauty about what I love about when we interview our CSNA students is that they use the slogans that we have or the mission statement like that we have, and they sound like they're with us. Do you know what I mean?
We're on the same page.
That's what I meant to say, that we're definitely on the same page. He is a veteran athlete, so he doesn't spend the amount of time in the pool like he used to. However, it's more quality than quantity.
Yeah.
Managing the training, not overtraining. So this is what you learn as you become a veteran champion athlete. He chose swimming as a competitive sport. He believes it taught him discipline, commitment, and perseverance.
Well, Mike Bensner, Mr. Universe, who competed with Arnold back in the day, he's gone now, but he used to rant and rave about overtraining. He was into the heavy duty, you know, the high intensity, one or two sets, but it's like killer, brutal workouts. Remember that? Well, he used to compare athletes in swimming and use them as an example of athletes who overtrained, who just were the ultimate example of the athlete who overtrains, and then they get all these injuries, and they're completely exhausted. But one thing he pointed out, which I always connected with, was the burnout, how you can get an athlete, like a swimmer, because George loves to swim, though, like he's like a fish, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Ruining yourself and also getting so sick of the sport, so sick of it, what you love, that you no longer want to do it.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that.
I mean, you love the sport, but how do you take it to a level where you're sick of it and you never want to do it again?
Dancing. I didn't want to dance. How many times have I gone on my sabbaticals? You just get so saturated with it that it's not even fun anymore. You just get burnt out. You get tired of it.
How do people keep working at a job then?
Well, they're
burnt out. They're exhausted.
Because they get a paycheck for it.
They have no enjoyment, but they keep doing it, huh?
They get a paycheck for it.
Yes.
So, I mean, maybe swimming or the dancing or whatever you're doing, you're not receiving any benefits from it anymore, right?
Right.
But he said that swimming was mobility, efficiency, body composition, and aerobic capacity. And keeping the body fat down is really important, I believe, when you're swimming. And also,
not like a bodybuilder, thin kind of a layer of fat that adds to their buoyancy.
Yes.
They're not ripped and shredded like a bodybuilder on stage, right?
Yes.
But they're lean.
And shoulder injuries are paramount in this sport, and as you mentioned, mostly overuse of the shoulder. So, you know, it doesn't matter what sport you're doing, you know, you just have to be careful. And as he said, he's learned the importance of nutrition, making smarter decisions in his diet, and during hard training phases, building up a strong immune system so you don't become ill. That's pretty important.
Well, then there's the sustainability. Like, I like the way that I go from hammer throwing, and then I'll just completely walk away from it and so-called hang up my hammer. And then I'll go into bodybuilding. And then I'll play some other sports. But the important issue is that you never stop training for health and wellness, whether you're playing the sport, track, or swimming professionally or competitively, whatever it is that you can bring to mind, you still keep training week in, week out, because life, it keeps going on, and we have to find a way to compensate for stress and the effects of stress on the body.
Exactly.
A lot of athletes, though, they hang it up, right? They stop the sport. They go into work or whatever it is they do, and then they stop training. They don't do any more physical training in the gym, like the maintenance work, right?
Do you think that is partially because they never looked after themselves?
Yeah, because the reason that they were training and competing was to win. Also, their coaches and their governments never put nutrition science ahead of their game. They weren't putting health ahead of the game. It was always about winning and competing and winning and competing and doing everything to win and compete.
Yeah.
Never mind your physical body, your health. Who cares about that, right?
Well, he says that his health is better now than it was when he was younger competing. He has a speedier recovery, his training is consistent, and he trains smarter and is much more relaxed at competition time.
We also talked about what he thinks about convention and coaching and swimming. He ignores the whole thing. He personally ignores them and does what he knows is right.
Right. And look at, he's reaping the rewards. And though his studies, through his studies, he's learned about nutrition. And with us, he's learned about nutrition, which is really wonderful. And on a daily basis, you asked him what he ate, and he said he eats whole foods, high-quality proteins, and fresh juicing he's into, which is, you know, people underestimate that, and healthy fats. Most important, what he's learned and that he now teaches is supplying the biological demand.
CHI Prime Directive.
Exactly. And he's really into the supplements to keep his system strong. And I was thought that was really wonderful to hear. And he's really on the right track nutritionally and taking the right supplements. So, like you said, supply the biological demand, pursue health, and performance will follow. And it's obviously working in this case, right? One of the things that you also talked about as being a swimmer, which is really important, is the chlorine, right? And chlorine, especially in an Olympic pool or a public pool. And he said hydration plays a role, so he keeps himself super hydrated. It takes a lot of vitamin C and antioxidants to help with the adverse side effects of the chlorine.
Yes, chlorine has virtue. It's an antiseptic, antimicrobial. I wouldn't want to drink water from some sources unless it was first chlorinated. However, I want the chlorine to be removed after that process, and that's what we don't do. So our shower water, our bathing water, everything that we use has chlorine coming in it, and people don't realize how toxic chlorine. Yes, it's an essential element, chloride, chlorine, but again, it's like salt. An excess amount of it can lead to damage. It's an oxidizing agent in the blood. White flour was one of the first things to decimate the human race. One of the other ones that has a very interesting history in war as gas, as a destructive element, you know, and a positive element in the water supply, but again, used incorrectly, ultimately long-term, is chlorine. The chlorination of water, some believe, is one of the major contributing factors, because of our consumption of it, to heart disease.
Isn't that amazing, huh? That's simple. Get off it.
Okay. Well, use chemistry. We chemistry is good. It's people are afraid of it, that they're sometimes in the extreme of nature, like they're naturalists. They think living in a cave on some desert island is going to be better. They're wrong. We have tremendous value with chemistry and technology. However, we just have to use it correctly, make sure it's in alignment with what the body needs and optimum health. See, these guys that do all the chemistry usually don't know what optimum health is, and they sometimes find out that what they're doing is wrong based on what happens later on, right?
Exactly. You got that right. Okay, well, thank you, George Durand. We truly appreciate your special guest interview and hope to get to meet you sometime, too.
We'll all be there. So what's your hot topic?
Okay, seeing as how it's summertime here in our neck of the woods, I thought I would do summer parties and barbecues, right? Now, there's a lot of gatherings. As you know, we were invited to three this weekend, like a little overkill, but nonetheless, it was wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. So you want to make sure that you're prepared for a summer party, depending on if it's during the day or in the evening. And there was one summer party that you and I went to. It was a birthday party. It was a 60th birthday party. And it was a scorcher. to 37 degrees out, and there wasn't a lot of shade, and I thought I was going to pass out. Remember that? I was so hot. So the thing is, you've got to make sure. I wouldn't, in that case, I did not have my watered-down wine. I just drank ice water and tried to stay out of the sun as much as I could, because that's no fun when you get overheated, and then you can't enjoy the party. So you really have to make sure that you're well, well hydrated, and that you're eating the proper foods. And if you can't drink a lot of water, then eat carrots and peppers and celery and foods that have a lot of hydration in them, because I think that's really important. Now, another thing, what happens when you're invited to parties during the summer, or let's say for any time, but you've got company coming into town? Because this is a time when a lot of people come and visit their family and friends. What do you do? Do you not go to the party that you're invited to, or do you bring your friends to the party? Some people would not go to the party because they might not feel like maybe my friends won't fit in, or maybe I'm not allowed to bring two or three or four more people to the party. What would you do, Corey?
Well, I think you should love the one you're with if you can't be with the one you love.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So what I'm talking about there is that if you go to a conventional-minded group of people party, they're not into health food. They're eating just the regular stuff. There might be something there of value, because sometimes they do think outside the box, and there are things that you can actually eat. Like this one we went to the other night, there was some fresh salmon. There was some chicken on the barbecue. But stay away from all of the other things that you don't normally eat, and be a miner. Look for the gold and the silver. And you don't have to load it all on the plate. Like, I just eat small amounts, and I have a beer in my hand, and I maintain my conversations. I behave in a way that doesn't draw attention to me not eating the food. It's very casual. It's a non-issue. I don't make comments. I don't police people. I don't say, ooh, I don't eat that crap or whatever. Because eating is a personal thing. It's like a religious belief. Nobody gets to tell you what you can believe in.
I had my dishes that I put up my plate, and somebody said, hey, you didn't get any salads. Now, the salads that they had were not lettuce salads or vegetable salads. They were pasta salads and all that. And I go, oh, they look good. But I just thought, no, I can't. So I said, oh, no, thank you. I've got enough on my plate.
Right.
I don't want to say, no, I don't eat that crap.
Right.
Or, you know, but I mean,
or what you can do is load up, like I sometimes do, before you go to the party.
Yes.
Have a huge meal. Like, oh, and then you go home and you're absolutely not hungry.
Yes, exactly.
And just drink your wine or your beer and relax and drink water, whatever it is you...
That's great, absolutely. So what do you do when you've got company coming? Now, I really want to go to this party really badly because they've been inviting me for 1 month. They've been inviting me. Then I find, like, 2 weeks later, my friends are coming into town, and I really want to see them too. So you want to do both. Do you contact the people and say, listen, I really want to come to your party, but I do have these people coming in from out of town, and they're visiting for a few days. Is it okay if we come to your party? Now, it's a little different if it's a wedding. Okay? But if it's just a barbecue with people coming in the backyard, I don't think that would be a problem. But if it's a sit-down dinner and you have to RSVP, then that's a little different story, I would think. Wouldn't you?
Well, a lot of it is about standing up for yourself, being confident in yourself, finding a way to be charitable and kind. And, you know, some people are very aggressive and they try and make you conform. They want you to be like them. And then you have to use discretion and your own sense of being an individual and understanding that your sovereignty, your autonomy, and your knowledge, which is usually far superior to them. And I don't mean that that makes you better. It just means like a physicist would know more about physics than most people at a party. But that doesn't mean he's any better as a man or a woman, right? So what you have to do, I think, is stay true to form. And if you're an athlete, which we all are, most people don't realize that they've got it locked in their DNA, we're designed to move, but most people don't move. So all of this comes back to you and yourself and what you think of yourself and what you're doing and is there purpose in your life. And I think one of our main tenets with CHI is that this whole focus on fitness and nutrition is only a means to an end. The real purpose is life, to preserve it and to extend it and to keep it high quality. So what does a human being have to do that?
Excuse me, but wow, did you ever take a stage left on that one? What the heck does that have to do with bringing a friend to a party? Whoa! ladies and gentlemen out there in SNU land, I don't know if I was, am I the only one?
What was your question again?
There you go. If it's a wedding, and you knew that this wedding RSVP is a sit-down dinner,
yeah,
then I wouldn't invite my friends, even if I knew they were coming. It's a wedding that I'm going to. They can stay home or go to the movies or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But usually a wedding is like 3 months in advance. You know there's a wedding. So that's a different story.
What are you talking about? What has this got to do with the topic of bringing a friend to a party or a barbecue? What is that?
What I'm saying is we were invited to three parties this weekend.
Okay.
Right? And we were supposed to have some company this weekend, but they didn't show up.
At our house?
At our house, yes.
Okay.
Now, what do we do? Do we invite them to the party with us if they want to come along, or we just stay home because we have company? Although we knew we were having these parties in advance.
Okay, my answer is communication.
Yes,
communicate
exactly. Yeah.
With both parties.
Yeah.
You don't just invite people and show up with these guests when you find out that it was a closed party. You would obviously phone or talk to the people that are hosting the party and say, I've got a couple and friends in town, can they come?
Yeah.
Or you phone them and say, yeah, I've got some special people coming in town, I just can't make it, right?
Because that's happened to us a few times. We were invited to a sit-down dinner with two couples, and we had company come into town, and it was really awkward. And then I asked somebody one time, I said, do you mind if I bring so-and-so along? They're in town. No, we can't do that.
Right.
I felt really uncomfortable because this was a time when it was a family member of mine was really having a tough time in their life, and they stayed overnight, and I just didn't know what to do. I didn't want to go to the dinner, but I thought, I know we've been planning this dinner. So that was a little bit uncomfortable for me.
Well, of course, and you know, you can really judge people, you know, and I think you need to judge people. You need to judge people in terms of how they respond in these kinds of situations.
Yeah.
You can measure their character by the entire affair, the whole process.
I mean, if you're inviting four new people over to a sit-down, yeah, that's a little different.
And ultimately, is it that important to go to another party? I mean, how important is it in the great scheme of life? Okay, because as you and I have always said, there's always another party.
And I'll make my own party if there isn't a party.
I'd rather party with you because I know what the environment is going to be like. We control it. There's no politics. There's no greed, jealousy, married people screwing around on each other. You know, all that stuff that you get involved with when you go and hang out with other people, unless you're very selective and you invite, like we like to do, maybe two, three couples, and we know them, they get along, right?
Yes.
And it makes for a very pleasant, high-quality conversation environment.
Right. Okay, then. Anyways, that's my hot topic. Get into the barbecues and the parties. I always take fruit with me, like pineapples and grapes and things like that. See, I take what I like to eat, but I always make sure there's a lot there for everybody else. So I always want to stay well hydrated. Very, very important. Because, you know, if you are drinking some alcohol, it is very acidic and it is dehydrating. Even if you're eating meat on the barbecue, that's dehydrating as well. Then there might be a cake or something.
And a lot of acid, too.
Yeah. So you just want to stay well hydrated. Bring food that you will eat, because if there's nothing there that you can eat, then make sure you've got your own food there, but it's shareable. Don't make faces and don't say, I don't eat that. That looks like crap. That looks icky, like a little kid would say. Just say, no, thank you. It looks lovely, but no, thank you. You know, something like that. But anyway, that's my hot topic, and enjoy the summer.
Yes. Excellent. Okay. So what's your final word?
My final word is by Buddha. To keep the body in good health is a duty. Otherwise, we shall not be able to keep our mind strong and clear.